Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud, Chulin Tzadi Zayin, Chulin 97a, pagination is 193. We'll start on the facing page, midway on the page, Masnisin at the new Mishnah. And this Mishnah is going to give us many fundamentals for the laws of Kashrus when something goes wrong in the kitchen, some non-kosher item gets mixed in, whether it's a milk and meat, where independently they were kosher, but when they join, there's a problem, or with things that are intrinsically non-kosher and somehow manage to make their way in to the pot of kosher food. Says the Mishnah, Yerech, the thigh of an animal, shenispasha bo gid hanoshe, that was cooked together with its gid hanoshe, it simply wasn't removed. So that would be a typical case. Something was overlooked. Im yeshba benosein tam, if the amount that's present of the two things in their ratio is such that it would give taste, harezu asura. It's going to be forbidden because it's considered to have gotten taste or presence from the gid hanoshe. Ketzad misha'arin. How do you make this calculation? The gid hanoshe itself may not have taste, but there's a volume of gid hanoshe that's imparting its taste into the thigh. Ketzad misha'arin, how do you do the calculation ratio-wise? Kibosar belefes, like meat with turnip. And if the meat would give taste to a soup of turnip, that would be considered a ratio of imparting flavor. And to jump ahead of ourselves, that's the 1 in 60 ratio that we typically work with instead of tasting it. The Mishnah continues. Gid hanoshe shenispashal im hagidim. If a gid hanoshe was cooked with other gidim, so that they all look the same, and I can't tell the difference, so the gid hanoshe is here. Number one, we're worried about the taste that it's imparting, or would impart. And number two, we're worried that the gid hanoshe itself is here, and someone's going to end up eating it. Bizman shemakiro, if you recognize the gid hanoshe, it's been boiling for a little bit, so it imparted flavor, but I know which one it is. I remove it. And then what's left to consider is binosein tam. I just have to know if it imparted flavor. Ve'ilav, but if you're not able to identify it, kulan asurim, everything is forbidden. Obvious question is, why isn't the gid hanoshe bottle? And the answer is that gid hanoshe is a beria, it's an entity, and it's not bottle in this mixture. So it would only be opportune way to fix this would be if you could identify it, you pull it out, and then you're just dealing with the ratio of taste. V'harotev, the sauce, binosein tam, that you just have to deal with the taste, because that's clearly not the gid. V'chein chaticha shel nevela, and a similar halacha would take place when you have a slice of non-kosher meat, non-kosher as in not shecht properly. You can't identify it. It looks the same as other meat that's kosher. It wasn't shecht properly. V'chein chaticha shel dog tamish nisbashlim chatichos. And the same thing with a slice of fish that looks the same as kosher fish, and it's been cooked together, and you can't tell the difference between the two. The Gemara says it's talking about a ru'uya lehischabit, an honorable slice, so that it's not batal, and it's similar to the rules of beria. Bizman shemakirim, if you recognize it, benosein tam, pull it out, and it's just a question of how much flavor it imparted. V'imlav, but if you can't identify it, kulan asuros, it'll all be forbidden. V'harotev, the sauce? Well, the sauce doesn't have the slab of meat that's honorable. If it does have little pieces, but those are going to be batal, they're not ru'uyos lehischabe, they're not honorable on their own. And therefore, the sauce is going to be dependent on benosein tam, if flavor was imparted based on ratio or however you're going to do that calculation. Let's move on to today's daf. Just below midway of the Gemara, in the middle of a line, Amar Rava, Rava said, Meiresh originally have a kokashali. I had a question. Hadetanya, this that we learned. Watch this case. Kedera shebisha ba basar lo yevasha ba chalav. A pot that was used for meat, we call that a fleshik pot, a meat pot, don't cook milk in it. And our very clear rules of a kosher kitchen are based on this. You can't cook the milk in the pot that was used for meat. V'im bishel, and if you did, accident happened. B'nosein ta'am, it would be dependent on imparting flavor. That's the statement. Depends if it imparts flavor. Teruma, if teruma, the special tithe that's only permitted to Kohanim, was cooked in this, you had wheat, oats, whatever it is, you had something in there that's teruma. Lo yivasha b'chulin, don't cook chulin, non-sacred in there, because it's going to have imparted flavor of the teruma, and it's only going to be permitted to Kohanim. V'im bishel, and if you did cook the regular food in the teruma pot, but no same time, it's going to be depending on whether flavor was imparted. So it's basically the same ruling, is flavor imparted? However, Rava had a problem. Bishlama, I readily understand teruma, how you could figure out in the case of teruma if flavor is being imparted. Ta'im la kohen. You have a kohen, taste it. A kohen is allowed to eat teruma, he's allowed to eat chulin. So let him taste your chulin and see if it has the taste of teruma. He detects the flavor of the wheat from the previous in your barley. So then it has imparted flavor of teruma. It'll only be permitted to Kohanim. And if the Kohen, who's a reliable fellow, he's a religious Jew, he tells you there's no taste of the teruma product, so then you're allowed to have that product given to any regular non-Kohen, no problem. So I have a solution. I could have a Kohen taste it. Ela basa b'chalav, but meat and milk? Question. I'm not sure if taste was imparted, but there's a chance it was. That's why I'm asking the question. So who's going to taste it? If it taste was imparted, it's forbidden to eat. Man toimle, who's going to eat it? Hashta de Omer Rabbi Yochanan. But now that I heard the ruling of Rabbi Yochanan, samchina nakfeilo, you're allowed to rely on an expert non-Jewish taster. So now I have a solution. A kafela arma'a, a non-Jewish taster, a chef. So if I could rely on him, I have my parallel solution to the case of Kohen. In the case of Kohen, it was Truma and Chulin that got mixed up. So I had somebody who was allowed to eat both, go eat it, taste it, tell me what happens. In the case of kosher and non-kosher possibilities, I'm not sure if the second one, the milk, has any taste of meat or not, I could have a non-Jewish taster taste it. If it's milk and meat, so he'll tell me. And it's no problem. He didn't do any violation because he's not bound by the laws of kosher. But if it does have a clean bill of health, anyone, a taste of health, you'll be able to eat it yourself. Hochanami, and that's what I realized. Samchinen akfela arma'a, you could rely on the non-Jewish taster. And the question, of course, is why are you allowed to rely on a non-Jewish taster? Usually, we don't trust a non-Jew's testimony on a religious thing. We're not sure that he's sufficiently sensitive to our needs. So there are a number of reasons that are mentioned. One is you take a case of Masiach Lefi Tuma where he's just talking. He doesn't realize that you need this information for laws of kashrus. He's just telling you how amazing that there's no longer any honey taste in the new product, or whatever it is that he tells you. Another thing is that it's avidi ligluye. it will be revealed. If he tells you in the case of milk and meat, there's no taste of meat in this, and therefore you taste it, you realize that he was lying, or he's got really bad taste buds and he's not worthy of being the chef that he claims to be. Either way, we have Avidi Ligluye, it will be revealed. Lomara umnose, we're not worried that the person is going to ruin his entire reputation. For what? For no gain at all. So therefore, we're able to trust him in specific cases. The Amar Rava, and indeed, we have different expressions which for us in practical halacha are really all the same. Amar Rabbanan b'taima, sometimes the rabbis say that you should calculate the mixture based on taste. V'amar Rabbanan b'kfeila, and sometimes they say that you should calculate it based on a taster. V'amar Rabbanan b'shishim, and sometimes they say calculate it in 60. So the explanation is, if it's something that you'll be able to detect because it's a different flavor, it was wheat and then oats, it's a different flavor, and you're able to pick up whether the first one is still present. So then if it's a permitted thing, like truma for a kohen, so then betaima, taste it. If it's something forbidden potentially, milk and meat, and if they're both present, then we have a problem, then bikfela, then you're using a non-Jewish taster. And then you have the case where you're not able to have it tasted because they're both wheat, let's say. They're both the same taste. Leka lemekim ataima. If you can't do the taste test, then you will be in a position to simply rely on the tradition that 1 in 60 is the calculation. And that's indeed, in general, what we rely on, because we do not go with the taster method, and we rely on 1 in 60 to do bittul nullification. Yasher koach, thank you for joining.